going on. The family that decides to have only one or two children are not really benefiting themselves and their children. They would be it would be in their self-interest to have more children and thereby get a greater share of the assets of Doyon over time and for their grandchildren to do it. This seemed to me to be an unwise. I'm a structuralist. I believe in setting up the rules in ways that encourage people to do what is in their own interest and in the interest of society as a whole. And it seemed to me that having an open rule was contrary to that, that it was better to not encourage large families. Now, if a family decides to have a large family on their own, they have every right to do so. But we shouldn't build in economic inducements that are not in the best interests of the people as a whole. Now, again, I say it's a close question. It's possible we could have had an open roll and avoided that particular problem. At the time, I didn't see how. And I also felt that it was desirable that parents recognize that their children and their children's children are going to share in the assets of the corporation and in participation under the settlement through the parents' own wise stewardship of the assets that have been given to them, and that it is therefore desirable that they recognize the stock they have is where their children and their grandchildren are going to get their stock from.
There's a kind of a reverse side of the coin to the thesis that you adopted, and I'm sure you considered this, that now with the closed roll,
Congress can tell your attorneys that the contracts they entered into are no good and they are not going to get paid anything near what the value of what they did. It's going to make it difficult for Native Americans to get attorneys to take cases to Congress. And I believe that that is a serious impact on their right to counsel. And I think it exists today. The Indian law bar is concentrated in Washington, D.C. There are very few attorneys who practice outside of Washington, D.C. I don't anymore. And it's well known among the Indian bar that if you go to Congress, you may, in effect, get ripped off. Now, I don't think that discussion ever comes up between an attorney and his Indian tribal client. But it's there, and I think it's a very serious problem. I did take this up with the courts, and the courts held that what Congress did was valid. And I would give you also copies of all of the documents, briefs and so on, that were on file in that case.
Thank you very much. Oh, yes.
I think Fred Paul testified before you in Anchorage.
Yes, he did. He did. He did. Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm very glad you came down, Mr. Jackson, and it's certainly been a helpful, and I'm afraid I've run out of questions.
If anybody else has questions, I'd be pleased to try to answer them.
Mr. Berry, going back to the village of Good Time.
Could you give us your name, ma'am?
Lillian Preston. I'm originally from Minnesota. You mentioned the IRA are taking the land there. And isn't Vinatai and Arctic Village are they on a reservation?
No.
Is there a difference between the other villages?
Right. Let me explain that. Under the Act, one of the ideas that I had was that a reservation ought to be able to keep its lands, and that we wouldn't count the land that they received against the 40 million acres. Under that provision, Vinatai and Arctic Village elected to receive the land. They only received $100,000 in cash, but they got a very large area, 1.5 million acres. Then those village corporations, business corporations, would have been an ordinary village business corporation, except they would have been land poor, lots of land but very little money. But then
of course, you'll never get what that stock is actually worth, you know, in terms of land. If you did, you'd be very well off. But as far as profitability of the corporation, we have a real lack of talent. The federal government just hands out this money and there's no training. There's no effective monitoring system. Nobody's looking at the results. And the corporation can be as arbitrary as they want to be without anybody saying, hey, this isn't being done right, or why are you losing all this money? I would have preferred Doyon to set up some kind of system. It didn't have to be elaborate. They were the only people that possibly could have done it. It would have been looked at on as intervention if the federal government had done it.
Yeah.
So what we're facing is a real crisis, a very real crisis. I've been working on this thing since 1972, and I'm beginning to feel the panic. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon we're going to have a search for the guilty, I guess, like that little thing said you had over there on the table. Then we'll punish the innocent. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
My name is Manny Hajdukovic Hollander, and that's Hajdukovich. And I'm sorry I didn't get here the other day. I wonder if there was anyone from Anaktuvik Pass here. Yeah, very good. I was very fortunate. I was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a 40-year resident and have never, until Monday this last week, been into a village. And I flew in with Frontier Flying. My brother owns Frontier Flying Service. And I flew in on business. And Mr. Isaacson was just talking about talent. And as he was talking about it, I had no intention to speak today. But I was very impressed as a professional businesswoman here in Fairbanks with that village corporation. I have it written down. I know it starts with an N. And Roosevelt Paniak, of course, is the president of the corporation, and Steve Wells is the business manager there. And I just wanted the whole world to know how impressed I was as a pioneer Alaskan, a native of Alaska. I think, do you call it native of Alaska? Or pioneer Alaskan. My parents came here in the late 1800s. And my uncle, John Hajdukovic, of course, is well known down in Big Delta, et cetera. But I believe with a tremendous teamwork between professional people like myself.
But that's the intelligence that some people have, that as we become more and more and more of a minority, then for heaven's sakes, don't give natives any more than 12%, any more than 10%, any more than 8%, because that's all the percentage we have in the state of Alaska. In a short time, one generation removed, two generations removed, excuse me, where Alaska was all Native people, with very, very few non-Native people here in the whole state of Alaska. And now, in my time, we're saying 12%, that's just unbelievable. I think if my grandmother sat here in front of you today, she'd shake her head in bewilderment at how much change has occurred to her land that was never foreseen in my grandmother's time. That's terrible when you can say my grandmother, not my great, 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 as others in the non-native world can say, my great, great, great. But we're saying our grandparents, or my uncle, or Mr. Joe Bitas yesterday, who testified here, who knows more than any of us with any type of education as to what has happened on our lands. And protection of our lands, I don't care where you go, I don't care where you've been, I feel safe in saying that you've heard over and over and over again, protect our lands. Not put more money on the table, but protect our lands. And I don't think that we've gotten a formula together yet to ensure that there is a protection of our lands. But we must do that, whatever it takes. There's many, many things that I could go on and on and on about Anska, but I just wanted to highlight some of those things that I have heard over and over again, and that people have urged me to come and speak before you to say some of those things, either on their behalf, for fear of it is frightening to come up here, like I say, to not know whether you're going to be quoted, not knowing who's sitting out here, and not knowing what the study is going to be used for, and already having testified time and time again, that it's a very frightening thing. And it shouldn't be, because what we're talking about is our life. And I would urge anybody who is sitting here today who is frightened to come up here. Heck, I'm a little frightened too. It is frightening to talk about our life, but I urge anyone to come up and say what they feel and what is on their mind. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think it's wrong. It doesn't matter how I think about it. But it matters that you say what you feel in your heart that needs to be said for our people, because it is going to be important to us as we become less and less and less of a people for the state of Alaska. We've got to say, as much as we hate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lincoln. Thank you very much.
Good morning, my name is Marie.
How do you do? Nice to meet you.
Do we have to state our name? And
well, you just state it, so I guess that covers
okay,
it.
Okay, my name is Marie Haley. I'm a full-blooded Alaska Native. The reason I'm stating so hard that I'm a full-blooded Alaska Native is when we were given our 100 shares, you didn't consider if an Alaska Native was an eighth or a half. You just all gave us 100 shares like we were all equal. And I don't think that I'm as equal.